Christmas maybe a little differently than we have thought about it in the past, or maybe a little differently than we normally celebrate it. If you look on YouTube and you actually watch the video from the Nativity movie, I mean, it's powerful, very powerful, because I think what we have, amazingly, is we have misconceptions of the conception. I think what we've tried to do with the Christmas story is we've tried to make it so palatable, so tasty for us as Americans that we've watered down what really happened. We try to, for some reason, change the image of Jesus a little bit. So I'm going to explore that with us this morning, because as I read the scriptures about this birth, this amazing birth, I don't think it was that immaculate. I don't think it was that clean. Now, it is the Immaculate Conception because there was no sin of man involved, no sinful man involved. So by the Holy Spirit being the one that actually impregnates Virgin Mary, then in that sense, yes, it's immaculate, but honestly, it's not a very clean story. And there's not a whole bunch about it that when you read it, and we only get a little bit. You know, this is the beauty of this particular passage, is we only get Luke and Matthew telling us just a tiny bit of what happened. You got to imagine that they're 33 years at least past the story. They're hearing about it. I mean, they didn't meet Jesus. These guys who are writing this didn't meet Jesus until his adult ministry. So they're hearing stories about his birth. And so we get a little piece of it. And I want us to dive in and look at it a little more closely, because it's not that palatable. It's kind of a tough story to swallow. So let's read a little bit about it. It's in Luke 1. This is the passage we're going to read, verse 24 through 38. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus." Now stop there for a second. What woman immediately translates that to favor with God? You know, this is a little bit tricky for Mary. Let's keep going on. "You'll be a child, you'll give birth to a son, you'll give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. When Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." And Mary answers this way. What a beautiful, profound answer. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. So the story essentially that we celebrate every year with a tree and lights outside and those kind of things and exchanging presents starts essentially with a teenage girl pregnant out of wedlock. Now that happens today, and we call that baby illegitimate at times in today's society. But we look back at this passage, for some reason we call it the Immaculate Conception. But immaculate means clean, it means pure, it means holy. And I've just got to tell you that I don't know how much is very clean about this, but I can tell you this as a man. I don't know Joseph, right? But I can imagine when Mary walked in and said, "Baby, I need to talk to you about something. I'm with child." Because that's the way the Bible says it. Don't you like the way they say that? "I'm with child." And he's like, "Quit playing, baby. You know, come on." She says, "No, really, I'm pregnant." You're what? You're what? Whose is it? We don't ask that question, but you know he had to think that, right? Whose is it? Whose is it? Is it Josiah's? Because I saw the way he was looking at you at the well. And I will tear him up. No, baby. Listen, it was Gabriel. It was Gabriel. Who's Gabriel? I mean, the story is not that clean, right? But we freshen it up. Now think of this. Let's read just a little bit about the ride to Bethlehem. What was immaculate about this ride, this journey for Mary and Joseph? We're going to read Luke 2, 1 through 5. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken in the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register Mary with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, was expecting a child. Now just stop for a second. Imagine that trip. I mean, we see it and we're like, oh yeah, and we kind of put it in a manger scene. We got wise men and stuff coming around and everybody's dressed real nice. Imagine the trip. You're traveling with a woman who's 9 months pregnant. Now, if you just go back and look, the distance between those two places is 80 miles. And they weren't like in a Yukon, you know, where she could lay the seat back. She was likely riding on a donkey. Now, talk about stress. My wife, when she was 9 months pregnant, when we walked to the kitchen, I was stressed, right? I mean, it was like, baby, you okay? You okay? It's going to be all right. Can I get you something? I mean, imagine that ride. It was not that clean. It was not that pretty. It's not what we've done to it. It was not that polished. Imagine her at this point saying, I'm not getting on that donkey one more mile. There is no way. You can tell Caesar that I'm about to birth Jesus, the Son of God. Right? I mean, you got to think that there was some other stuff going on. 80 miles if they went through Samaria, and we know that Jews didn't go through Samaria. If it was just 80 miles, if they went 10 miles a day on a donkey, that's 8 days of a trip between a man and a woman in this situation. Not that pretty. So, imagine the moments where Joseph rolled his eyes. Just get on the donkey, baby. Please just get on the donkey. Come on. Imagine the names that were called. You can imagine the names that were called. I mean, we put it like it's so holy that this couple, I'm telling you, how many of y'all have ever had a baby? Right? I saw a man raise his hand. Let me talk to you real quick. You, just kidding. Imagine that situation. I've only had one child, but man, the pregnancy's stressful. The conversations are stressful. Hormones are out the roof. I mean, the guy is thinking, what have I done? I can't believe this. I can't change a diaper. I'll never be able to do this. I mean, this is not that pretty, not that clean. Let's keep going. Luke 2, 6, and 7. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. What was so clean? What was so immaculate? What was so perfect? We don't think about the panic of Joseph and Mary. We don't think about the water breaking, the contractions, the blood, a manic rush to the stable where there was no room. We make it out like it's a children's play, like in middle school. The little boy runs up and knocks on the door, and they open that little secret window, and he says, I'm sorry, there's no room in the inn. There's something that's just beautiful about the idea of it being a mess from God. What's so perfect about the stable? I would love to walk into any one of our houses and see a manger scene that actually looks and smells like the stable. Mine's handcrafted, nice porcelain, hand-painted, right? And yours is too. The one at my in-law's house where I'm staying at right now is all white. Just beautiful white, like it's all clean. It wasn't clean, it smelled. There were barn animals in the joint, okay? Not the place you want to have a baby. We get all googly-eyed at baby Jesus, and we think of him being wrapped in swaddling clothes. You've seen it in the play. Do you know what swaddling clothes were? Do you know what those strips of linen actually were? The cloth that was wrapped around him? Essentially, they wrapped young lambs that were going off to be slaughtered in those clothes. He was wearing grave clothes. He was wearing clothes of death, but we clean it up. I'm going to prove it, okay? This is my proof. You ready? And this is the point where, you know, some people are not going to like me, okay? Not many, but a couple. I'm going to prove it. Listen to this. Silent night, Holy night.
Dear Lord,
all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild. Isn't he cute, little baby Jesus? Now tell me who had a baby ever that was tender and mild, right? The night Elijah was born, it was not a tender and mild night, right? Tell me, are we saying, listen to this one, this gets better. Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The cattle are lowing. I forget this one. Oh, the sky looked down where he lay, the little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. The cattle are lowing, the baby awakes, but little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. Isn't that nice? It's a beautiful picture. Come on. Jesus was crying and screaming like every other baby. We're saying, how about this? Just think about this. Think about the conversation that Mary was having with her friends, right? About little Jesus. Because we think he didn't cry. That probably means we think he didn't ever mess his diaper. Right? Uh-oh, I'm offending now. Jesus messed his diaper. Just think about this. I mean, he was the Son of God, but he was man. He came fully as us. There's no difference. And Mary and Joseph are no different than you and I. Really, it's not that we can't just continue to put them up on a pedestal. Because God has something for us just like that. God has Holy Spirit moments for us in relationship with him. We're all imperfect, and that's why Jesus was born that way. To show us very clearly that it was a special night, yes, but it was not as we present it. It's amazingly beautiful how God created this situation so vastly different than you and I would have created it. You and I would have, because I know, because 2,000 years later we make it like it's the perfect situation, and it wasn't. It wasn't. And why do we do this to Jesus? Why do we clean him up? Why do we clean up the story? Does God need us to do him a favor by trying to clean up his image? Do we need to make God more palatable? Do we need to make Jesus more people friendly? Do we need to match Jesus up to what our concept of Jesus should be? Do we need to make the birth like make it feel good to me? I want you to do me a favor. I want to go a little further with this. I want you to watch a clip from a popular movie that talks about how, because I think we love baby Jesus. So let's watch this clip together. And then we'll come back to it and talk about why I think we do this to Jesus.
Dear Lord, baby Jesus, or as our brothers to the south call you, Jesus, we thank you so much for this bountiful harvest of Domino's, KFC, and the always delicious Taco Bell. I just want to take time to say thank you for my family, my two beautiful, beautiful, handsome, striking sons, Walker and Texas Ranger, or TR, as we call them. Dear Lord, baby Jesus, we also thank you for my wife's father, Chip. We hope that you can use your baby Jesus powers to heal him and his horrible leg. And it smells terrible, and the dogs are always bothering with it. Mm. Dear tiny infant Jesus.
Hey, you know, sweetie, Jesus did grow up. You don't always have to call him baby. It's a bit odd and off-putting to pray to a baby.
Well, look, I like the Christmas Jesus best, and I'm saying grace. When you say grace, you can say it to grown-up Jesus or teenage Jesus or bearded Jesus or whoever you want.
You know what I want? I want you to do this grace good so that God will let us win tomorrow.
Dear tiny Jesus, your golden fleece diapers with your tiny little fat balled-up fist pawing.
He was a man. He had a beard.
Look, I like the baby version the best. Do you hear me? I win the races and I get the money.
Ricky.
Okay. Dear 8-pound, 6-ounce, newborn infant Jesus. Don't even know a word yet. Just a little infant, so cuddly, but still omnipotent.
Mm. We just thank you for all the races I've won and the $21.2 million. Woo!
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 Ow! Love that money that I have accrued over this past season, also due to a binding endorsement contract that stipulates I mention Powerade at each grace. I just want to say that Powerade is delicious, and it cools you off on a hot summer day,
and we look forward to Powerade's release of Mystic Mountain Blueberry. Thank you for all your power and your grace, dear baby God. Amen.
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 All right, so I'm not going to get run out for that clip, right? Andy told me I could do it. So second week in a row, I've followed Andy's advice. If you've got any problems with it. But really, we do this to Jesus, not just as a baby. We make Jesus out to what we want Him to be. We make Jesus to fit and conform to our image of Jesus. When in all actuality, that's not how it went down that night. And that's not how it continues to go down in our lives. We like baby Jesus, not just because He's cute, not just because He's cuddly, not just because you can put Him on your mantle and your nativity set, but we like baby Jesus, I think, the same reason Will Ferrell liked baby Jesus, because baby Jesus is safe. Baby Jesus is safe. He's the safest Jesus. You can pick Him up, you can hold Him, you can rock Him. We like baby Jesus because He's safe. You can control Him. You can wrap Him in the clothes. You can hopefully shake Him and make Him quit crying. If we keep baby Jesus in the manger, we've missed it. We like baby Jesus. You know what other Jesus we like that I think we form into our own image? Is we like Messiah Jesus. Messiah Jesus is cool because He's the sent one. We like Emmanuel Jesus because that's the God who is with us. We really like Savior Jesus because we know we need salvation. You know, the Jesus that I really like, I find myself liking a whole lot, is my friend Jesus. You know, we all say He's my friend and the Word says that's true. But I like my buddy Jesus. You know, my buddy Jesus. You know, my buddy Jesus and me. We like to climb up a tree. That Jesus. We like that Jesus, but we continually try to manage and manipulate Jesus into something that He is not. Now, all those things are true about Jesus. We like those kinds of Jesus. But the Jesus we struggle with, I think, is the Jesus we sang about so much during this worship service, is we struggle with Jesus as King. We struggle with Jesus as Lord. Because when He's King and when He's Lord, it means He has full control. It means He's supreme. It means He reigns over our life. I like baby Jesus. I like Messiah Jesus. But I need to learn to love King Jesus, the one that reigns and rules over me. Back to the Christmas story. What we know Luke said, we know the shepherds were watching the flock that night. They said something beautiful. They said, "We're here to worship the King. We're here to worship the King." They got it. That's what we need to get this week, is we're not here just to cradle Jesus. We're not here just to love on Jesus. We're here to worship the King Jesus. That's what this week is about. Let me read the only reference in Scripture that Jesus makes to His birth. This is amazing to me because I only read this month. I only saw this as someone else was preaching about the Christmas story. And I saw it and it blew me away. So if you have ever caught this in Scripture, I want to study the Bible with you, because I've read this story a bunch of times and I've missed it every time until this year. But Jesus has a point in His life where He refers to His birth, and it's John 18:37. "Therefore Pilate said to Him," and let me set this up, you know this is right before His crucifixion, it's when He's being tried. "Therefore Pilate said to Him, 'So you are a king.' And Jesus answered, 'You say correctly that I am a king.'" And listen to this. "For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." When Jesus was asked the question, "Are you king?" what He says is beautiful. "I was born to be king. I was born king." It would be great if He said, "I came to save the world." It would be great to say if He said, "I came so that everyone may have life." And He says that in other places. But when asked very moment about Him and being king, He says, "Go back to my birth, because that's when it started." He said, "I was born." He wasn't in preparation to be king like other kings that we see. He was born king. He was born baby king. That's a beautiful passage to me. And the question I have for us this morning is, do we know King Jesus? Do we love King Jesus? Because you can't put the King Jesus, you can't put the King Jesus under your control or under your command. You can't put Lord Jesus under your control or under your command. By nature of the definition of King and of King of Kings, He is in absolute authority and reign and rule in your life. So the question I have for us is, do we know and love King Jesus? Baby Jesus can get put back in the attic next week. King Jesus reigns supreme daily in our lives. I know just from my own experience is that there are parts of Jesus that I like. And there are parts of Jesus that I don't deal with in Scripture, that I don't really consider. Baby Jesus is safe. King Jesus isn't safe. You know, these are the things that I struggle with sometimes. As we get around Him acting like it's all good, it's birthday cake stuff, right? But imagine just this. Imagine that He said, you're going to be persecuted because of Me. There's places in Scripture where it says that He came to divide. There are places in Scripture where He flips over the table. There are places in Scripture where He tells a family, someone who is about to follow Him, that you've got to hate your mom and your family to follow Me. There are places in Scripture that says you have to die to have life. What do you do with that Jesus? Because that Jesus isn't safe. That Jesus isn't the Jesus that you can control. That's the King Jesus, the one that's in full authority. What do you do with that Jesus on December 25th? I want to give you just some evidence that that Jesus isn't safe. We know the story that's in C.S. Lewis. It's a beautiful picture of this. When Lucy was asking this question in the Chronicles of Narnia, she says this to Mr. Beaver. Safe? Lucy asked Mr. Beaver if Aslan, who represents Christ, is safe, to which Mr. Beaver replies this. Safe, said Mr. Beaver. Don't you hear what Mrs. Beaver tells you? Who said anything about safe? Of course He isn't safe, but He's good. And He's the King, I tell you. You know what happened to the disciples that were around Jesus? Early church fathers, like after the New Testament, write about what happened to those disciples. Andrew, crucified for preaching Christ. Bartholomew, crucified. James, cut down with a sword. Peter, crucified upside down. Philip, crucified. Thomas was thrust through the four members of his body with a pine spear. Jesus didn't come to be safe, and He didn't come to be baby. He came to be King. And my question is He the King of our lives? Is He the King of our lives? We sing about it. We throw our hands up. I do too. But honestly, the King has full authority, reign, and rule. Does He have full authority, reign, and rule in your life? Or do you worship a safe little baby Jesus that you can cradle and hold and move around and control? We've got to change our image of who this Jesus was and who this Jesus is. Because this Jesus, the one we worship this week, is King. He's King. He's King indeed. Here in a moment after we watch this video, I'd like for you all to be asking yourself this question in your mind and in your heart. Is, do I know the King? King Jesus. Ah!
Bible says, my king is the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient Savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he purifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is lighter. I wish I could describe him to you. He's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind. You see, you can't get him off of your head. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him.
Sing to you,